Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
Hour three of the show. Very excited to be here, coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
I got a tweet, Randy.
Let's hear it, Jay.
Phil in Missouri at Sklar Brothers isn't the Hollywood Y, just a huge building filled with doctors performing liposuction. I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Possibly.
Hold on a second.
Possibly.
Tiger Woods just teed off at the U.S. Open. Basically, drive went down the fairway, and then he's can't find the green.
Yeah, that happens. Look, this is a tough course.
Can't get in the hole.
You're not going to see minus 18 on this course. You're not going to see minus 20. He said the course is long.
I think Ricky Fowler is poised to be in the mix at the end, and I kind of want him to be there. And so he's plus three today. And so
he's one of those superstars who hasn't really gone on that run.
He's the guy I root for down in the final pairing on the last day to try and pull one down. But this may be his year. He's plus three. That's a good thing.
Yeah, when he finished,
that's how hard a U.S. Open is. It's just difficult. I was listening to a pro for the Shinnecock golf course being interviewed, and he's like, "This is a pro for the golf course." Said I would never hit from the tees that these guys hit from. He's like, "I'll hit from where the farthest tees that the members hit from," but he would never go back to where they're playing.
Tiger said, "This is a longer course. This is a tough, tough, tough course. You're not going to see some unreal scores.
You're not going to see someone go super low. But, I mean, look, if you can keep it around, like I said, Ricky Fowler's plus three. I think the leader's at minus one. But if you can keep it close.
The cut might be minus four or five. We don't know that.
Yeah,
plus four or five.
Might be more than that.
Who knows?
All right. We're knee-deep in baseball season, and we bring on right now, we mentioned him before, he is one of our favorite people in the world of baseball.
From back when we worked at ESPN.
Back when he did so much great stuff. We used to do a regular segment with him on ESPN News. He now is fantastic on MLB Now. He's the host of MLB Now throughout the season. And by the way, MLB Network featuring live baseball every day through June. That's where I watch my baseball there.
Red Sox-Mariners tonight.
Red Sox-Mariners game. Mariners are playing out of their minds. Let's bring them in right now. Brian Kenny, welcome to the show, you sabermetric fool.
Boys, I've missed you. How are you?
We've missed you. I've missed you in that wonderful head of hair. How are you doing, sir?
The hair is still here.
It's beautiful.
It is still hair. It's like sticking straight up. Yes, thankfully.
Kind of amazing baseball season this year. I mean, there's first of all, I feel like no one really wants it in the National League, but we've seen there's a lot of parity. Are you seeing more parity than you've seen in the past?
Well, it's a confluence of things.
Right.
So you go into it knowing that there are super teams.
Sure.
Like, this is the recent dynamic. Like, even when we think of the Giants winning championships and the Royals winning championships, those weren't super teams. But everybody kind of getting on board with, you know, however you want to term it, proper economic thinking,
yeah,
analytic thinking,
whatever, yep,
call it with Cubs and the Astros. Now everybody knows you're either in or you're out.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw, especially with the trade deadline last year, that the Indians, the Dodgers, the Yankees, right, like the good teams were loading up and getting even better.
Right. And so you're now seeing that come to fruition. I mean, what's going to happen in the National League? The Red Sox and the Yankees are playing.
They're running away with it.
Both playing great, but so are the Mariners. Like, can the Mariners sustain this walk-off last night? Can they sustain this level?
Unlikely. Yeah, I don't think they're one of the super teams. They're good, just like the Brewers are good.
I think
the Brewers are a step ahead of the Mariners. So, like, to your point about parity, there's always room for somebody to shoot from the middle class and punch up.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing now with the Mariners. The Angels, with Ohtani, when he was healthy, were in that class. And yeah, the Mariners, too. I thought the Mariners would, you know, even last year. If you compare the actual production, the raw production of the Astros and the Mariners, it's actually not.
Houston's much better. They got better players. They got better horses. But still, Seattle is doing it. You need a little magic. Look, Seattle had that year where they won all those games and then didn't make
then
it to the World Series.
It, yeah.
So it's like you need a little magic. Sometimes the team that limps into the playoffs is the team that wins it all. I mean, it changes when you get to October.
Well, yeah. I mean, people who ask me, like even like the Yankees and the Nationals were playing, right?
Right.
This week. And and it was like, is this a World Series preview? And it's like, who knows?
Right.
Like, is it possible these are the teams that will meet in the World Series? Oh, yeah, but we know when it comes down to the one-week series, there's no telling. There's, even with the Astros with their super rotation, and it's like a historically great rotation. Could they get knocked out by the Indians? Absolutely. Yankees?
Sure.
Yeah. Red Sox? Yes. So you just have to look at how powerful are they over the 6 months. And the teams I just mentioned, by the way, the National League, the Cubs are still a super team.
Sure.
Nationals are still a super team as
they
well.
They are, yeah.
Those teams will be there.
And the Dodgers. Look, the Dodgers are above 500, and the Diamondbacks look like they don't want to win the division. So I know the Dodgers are where they are, and I know they have injuries and whatnot, but
they get healthy.
They get healthy and put things together at the right time. They're a super team, as far as I'm concerned, is what you're saying.
Well,
is saying as well.
Beginning of the year, we thought, you know, and most of the systems had them as the number one team in baseball.
Wow.
So you're right. You know, Kershaw being hurt, Seager being out for the year is
devastating.
Yeah, you lose a top power hitting shortstop. You know, there's no recovering precisely from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kenley Jansen losing a couple of miles per hour off his fastball and not really, you know, and that could that be, can we chalk that up to usage, Jansen?
I don't know. I know there's no perfect way of doing this because what the Dodgers actually did was the opposite. They barely used him in spring training. So so a lot of the guys that I work with,
they might have thought, yeah, we're
you're ready to go.
Yeah. Are the Braves the surprise of the year? I mean, they've got so many young great players. You thought, when will the Braves get back to being the Braves? It might take some time, but
Feel like they might have the nucleus.
Amazing young players on that team.
Yeah, they're much better than I thought they'd be. I thought they were still a year or two away, but Albie's making a big level jump. Acuna is a clear blue chipper.
Yeah.
Guys like Sean Newcomb are coming up, and those are the guys that they traded for when they did their, you know, rebuild, when, you know, John Hart, John Coppola were there. They were the guys that they were trading for and saying, hey, the arms are on their way. That's the beauty of it, too, right? If you asked me beginning of the season, hey, Dodgers or Braves, who's better? I'd say it's not even close.
Right.
And it might not be, but to your point of magic, and you got to play it on the field. And Nick Markakis playing great, and you know Ryan Flaherty out of his mind, you know, and Freddie Freeman
could be the odds on MVP for the league right now if it stopped right now. You'd have to think that.
Oh yeah, I hope he gets through a full season and playing like this because the last 2 years he was a legitimate MVP candidate. He had made that leap. He was challenging Paul Goldschmidt and Joey Votto for best first baseman in baseball. But, you know, he got his hand broken on a hit by pitch.
I know.
And so he never quite finished up a full season. But, no, he is
unlucky.
A superstar player.
Well, so let's talk about, you mentioned Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, perhaps one of the worst Mays any player has had. And we're seeing, you know, we're Cardinals fans. We're seeing guys like Colton Wong hitting the 180s. And, you know,
Matt Carpenter
was in the under the Mendoza line for a long time. We talked about this with Jonah Carey a couple weeks back. But how much is the batting philosophy that you're seeing? Guys just all or nothing, swing for the fences or strike out, shifts kind of hurting just average. Are we going to see guys through a whole season like dip below 200?
Yeah, that's the new wave. And I think we're, you know, like all these things that we talk about on the network and on MLB Now all the time about, you know, what to do to change baseball. And look, baseball is great. However, you can see the future is Joey Gallo. Like, right. This is what it is.
Yeah.
So, and I spent a lot of years, like, when you and I were doing the show, I was the guy, like, at ESPN,
right,
always talking about, hey, Adam Dunn is a great player.
Right.
I don't think Adam Dunn stinks. Adam Dunn is great. However, I didn't think we'd have an entire league of Adam Dunn. Like,
right,
when you have an entire league of guys like that, well, that's not good for baseball. So, you know, I think this is the incentive structure. We've incentivized velocity on the mound and power and plate discipline at the plate. So this is what we're getting because this is what the market says it wants.
Right. And you're getting a league full of Steve Balbones. I mean, essentially, that's what you're getting. Like, low average,
exactly.
Lot of home runs, and a lot of strikeouts. And, you know, I read an article about Jake Arrieta saying, I'd rather get a guy. I mean, you're getting tons of strikeouts this season, too. I'd rather get a guy to hit a ground ball after two pitches, and then I can last the whole game, rather than go deep in a count and get a strikeout. It's a different philosophy right now for the pitchers.
Well, yeah, everything is geared toward this epic grudge match between pitcher and batter. Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out that's not what baseball was for about 100 years.
Right.
And I, you know, applaud players like Joey Votto and Bryce Harper, guys who know the strike zone, you know, better than anyone, including the umpires. Mm-hmm. However, at a certain point, it does become lawyer ball. You know, at a certain point, it's like, can you swing and put the ball in play?
Yeah, what are we squabbling about here? Yeah, I mean, there's the Vladimir Guerrero hit a home run off a ball that was bounced to him. You know what I mean?
Right. Like that. Baseball's a lot more fun with that. Yeah, it's more fun with Vladimir Guerrero than it is Joey Votto.
It's more fun with Vladimir Guerrero than Vladimir Guerrero's son. I get it.
Yeah.
who's injured, sadly. But, I mean, because he's a great player, just a big dude. But you mentioned Bryce Harper. The idea that he's getting, like, criticism and flack from an unknown and unnamed person, to me, it shocked me when I heard that. I'm like, you know, baseball is the type of sport, and again, because you come from ESPN and you covered all sports, baseball is the type of sport where, yeah, one player can make a team great, but who's the best player in baseball and has been for a while? Mike Trout. And the Angels haven't sniffed the World Series, and that's not Mike Trout's fault. He's playing as great as he can. One player cannot change everything. I don't think Bryce Harper is a loser. I think Bryce Harper is and he will get paid like a winner when he gets paid with his new contract, probably by the Yankees.
Right. I even, you know, that when that story came out, we spoke about it for MLB Now, and I even said, I don't want to even give that the light of day.
Right.
One unnamed executive, texting reporter, no thank you. Like, could anybody say that? Anybody could say that at any time. We have no idea who it is.
Right.
And it would be one thing if one journal polled, you know, like 10 general managers, and that was the sentiment that, hey, this guy just hits. He doesn't field anymore. He doesn't run. Okay, specific things if you want, which is not true, but if you want to get into what makes a winning all-around player, let's really dive into it. But one guy saying that guy's a loser, I didn't even put it on my show. I didn't give it the light of day.
Right. I'm sorry I put it on this show.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah, you've really shamed us.
I've drugged you down into the morass, Brian. I'm sorry about that. I only bring it on because I think I want to say that it's ridiculous to just say that this is, you know, and the market will bear itself out. And anybody, you name a number of teams, I'm telling you, every team that could possibly get him will be fighting to get him. Am I right about that?
What percentage of your payroll can you play one? Can you pay one player? That's
right.
What the question is.
That's really what it becomes.
That has to be answered.
Yeah. Yep.
So you have to look at your team and your makeup. I mean, this is the question I have. Are we ever going to see anyone flirt with 400 ever again? I mean, have we just, because of the shifts that happen defensively and things like that, is that just a thing of the past? Should we just give up on that?
Yes. It is. Yeah, no, it's.
We'll never see that again.
Maybe we get back that style of baseball, but I don't think it evolves normally. We are at an all-time in singles. So yeah. Without the single, you're not going to have people hitting 400.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're going to have it.
And I don't think, this is the other thing that I'd like to throw out there. There's a lot of sentiment that, because people keep bringing up the shift, and even in this competition committee that MLB there this week that met, there was talk about, hey, maybe we do something to alter shifts. Mm. I think that is treating the symptom.
Yeah.
I think that actually would eliminate any chance of baseball writing its own ship, and incentivizing the small guy who is at high A ball, or maybe if you draft a guy who hits 400 at lower league.
Right.
Right? Because everyone says they want Tony Gwynn, but what we really promote and pay is Joey Gallo.
That's right.
So that needs to change, and then we can get singles hitters and a George Brett hype back in the game.
Which, and you know, you don't think Altuve has power. He definitely has power for a little guy, but he's also a guy who does all the other things correctly. And he is a guy that hits the gaps, but you know, he's a guy that if he hits singles, he's still a leader on the team. And
if Jose Altuve was playing in 1973, he'd be hitting 380.
Yeah.
He'd be shooting for, but he is sold out for power.
Yeah.
Now he can still hit for average and get hits, but these guys would adjust. Like a great player like Altuve in the mid-70s,
correct?
You know, he'd be, you know, challenging for batting titles with Bill Madlock and guys like that.
Oh, my God. Madlock back in the day. Dave Parker even. Think of a guy as big as Dave Parker hitting. He probably hit in the high 360s at times. Willie McGee.
I think he was like, he may have like led the league once with like a 338 or something like that. But that's a good point. He's a guy now that would be just hitting for power.
Yeah. That's it.
Came up. The incentive system was different. And he tried to hit for average. That's what he was doing.
All right, you heard it here. Brian Kenny wanting small ball back, just like we do. We grew up with Whitey Herzog, the white rat. You know, slap it down on the AstroTurf and see what happens. Maybe we need to bring back AstroTurf, for Christ's sake.
Deaden the ball. Right. AstroTurf, deaden the ball, deaden the bats. There's ways of doing it. It might hurt for a little bit, but I think eventually we're going to have to make those decisions.
I love it. Dude, you are so great for coming on the show. Again, MLB Network featuring live baseball every day through June, including tonight's Red Sox and Mariners game. I will be watching that. Plus, you can watch our buddy Brian Kenny host MLB Now, which I do. That's where I go to get all my MLB information is through you throughout the season. You do a heck of a job, and you're a good friend, and we're so happy you could come on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure always to talk to you guys. Let's do it again. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
All right, beautiful. Brian. We'll take a break. Brian Kenny. BK! We got a break. This is Club Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
We got takes right around the corner.
Stay with us. Huge tweet of the day goes to who, Jay?
This is one I hadn't read, and I wanted to read
it. Oh, yeah, so read it out now. Why not?
Mike in Buffalo at Sklar Brothers. This is right after the Rodman call. At Sklar Brothers, worm out Jamal Anderson.
Hilarious. Loved it.
Simple,
perfect,
short, tight, huge tweet of the
makes
day.
The point the way we wanted it made.
Mike in Buffalo.
Got a minus seven.
Celebrate. Go to Gabriel's Gate and have some wings. Celebrate, brother.
Peter Yueling. I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong. Never even heard of the guy.
Yueling.
-2 through 5. That's not going to last.
Nah.
Scott Piercy is -1. Ian Poulter. His eyes bulged out when he shot a -1. Actually, his eyes are just bulging out at all times. Ian Poulter.
Yeah. Always wears a visor. That guy would wear
a visor to a funeral. Like Rodman would wear, if Rodman wore like flip flops to a funeral, Ian Poulter would wear a visor to a funeral or a baby naming. Do you have some emails?
This is from Steve. Steve Boris Sclones. I'm currently working on a diss track. What rhymes with my team sucks? I'm heading to Houston. Sign LeBron.
Ooh, nice.
Possibly. Yeah. Sklars, I think LeBron will decide against moving to LA once he experiences a Trader Joe's parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Drew in West LA. You're right about that, brother.
It's locked in. I mean, you hang around a Trader Joe's parking lot and try and park. At the end of that, you don't know who your daddy is.
Yeah.
You just don't.
You don't know who your daddy is.
That's right. I'm like, where am I going? Yes, you have great produce, but I'm sitting here in the parking lot. I can't park. There's a guy waving me over here. These people are getting out, and I'm sitting here saying, I don't know who my daddy is.
Don't know who your daddy is.
Let's talk football, Rams.
Reggie Bush just got paid.
Paid by the LA Rams. And you're thinking to yourself, wait,
did he sign a new contract? No, he didn't sign a new contract with him. He won a court case against him. Well, the Rams.
That is, for something that happened in St. Louis in 2016. We all remember that.
Remember, Bush ran out of bounds.
Got pushed. He slipped on the concrete.
Exposed concrete, which, by the way, great for an apartment in New York. Exposed concrete. Not great for a stadium right outside where the bench is.
A concrete ring of death is what...
They described it, which you knew that his lawyers would make it a little bit dramatic.
Let me trump that up a little bit.
Let me get that dramatic a little bit. The concrete ring of death. Is it a ring of death? Is it a ring of...
But honestly,
they were doing in Chile under the stadium to the people there who dissented to their government, that's the ring of death. This is an area that didn't have a carpet on it. Let's be honest.
But think about who he's playing to, all right?
He's playing to
a jury in St. Louis talking about a team that
ripped their hearts out and left to go to L.A. Yeah, you think the St. Louis fans or St. Louis people who remembered when the Rams were there and then left are going to award in favor of the team that screwed them so hard?
Reggie Bush could have been doing dances from the game Fortnite and slipped, and they still would have awarded him.
Been like, the Rams!
Rams did this to us.
They owe $12 million.
They want to take $12 million out of Stan Kroenke's pocket. That's what they want to do.
Holy Lendale White. $12 million?
Now he can find, Reggie Bush can
find. He can finally buy the condo that USC tried to buy for his mom years ago. There you go. Buy the whole complex.
Comes full circle.
That is the ultimate middle finger to the Rams, is it not?
It was in the Edward Jones Dome.
You know what would be the ultimate middle finger would be if Reggie Bush then took that $12 million and invested it with Edward Jones.
Yeah.
That would be in your face.
I don't know. If Reggie Bush could make $12 million on the field and became the player we thought he was going to be when he was at USC, maybe that's a bigger sports story. But this is a story. This is something that's happened.
Something that happened 15 feet off the field. That's how he's making his money now.
But I just imagine his lawyer pleading.
Think of the Rams lawyer in this case.
Yeah.
Just pleading to a jury of St. Louis folks. And we're from St. Louis. We know how mad they were. I was mad. And the Rams, put it this way, the Rams got to St. Louis in 94 after we had left. We had left to go to the University of Michigan. We were gone. We didn't live there anymore.
They win a Super Bowl in 99, 2000.
Go back. Yeah, they go back in 2000.
And they almost win again. Field goal. Field goal by the Patriots and starts their run. That beats them. Should have won.
So the team, even though, you know, we were Cardinals fan, we had season tickets to the football Cardinals, which we were always 5-11, 6-10, 4-12. That was our
year. Suffer through that. It was about time St. Louis won something in football. And they won a Super Bowl with Dick Vermeil and the team. And the Rams became St. Louis's team, and they were there for 20 years.
The $12 million ruling in St. Louis is a figurative collective burning of a Rams jersey.
Right.
That felt great just to get it done. Just bankrupt them. Guilty of ripping our hearts out in cold blood.
But I think, Rand, this sets a dangerous precedent for all of sports.
Just bringing the element of personal injury into all sports?
Personal injury lawyers advertising directly to athletes. Have you been hurt at work?
Slipped or fallen on the job because of exposed concrete.
Is your name Gus Frerotte? Did you hurt your neck slamming your head into a wall?
Was the padding not thick enough? We can get you paid.
After taunting a dugout full of players while you're rounding the bases, have you been thrown at with a projectile?
By a relief pitcher with the battery to intent and maim. We can get you paid. Have you been fake hurt during a World Cup soccer match?
Even if the guy never touched you, if you're clutching your knee, acting like you're hurt,
we can get you paid. If you're Kawhi Leonard, we can get you paid. We are the authority on personal sports injuries.
I swear to God, this is on around the
we
corner.
We have friends that are personal injury lawyers. I'm going to call them right now and be like, get on it. Start making a ton of money.
Just go right to athletes. Why not? Why doesn't Gus Frerotte sue that place? Now, he didn't know.
Here's the real question. What does Reggie Bush do with the $12 million that he wins in this case?
Is he
still dating the woman who looks like Kim Kardashian?
I don't know.
If she is, someone,
didn't she try to sue
someone's
her?
Someone's getting some new butt implants. I'll tell you that.
That's all we're saying.
She's going to get so many great butt implants that she's not going to know who her daddy is.
Yeah. Almost.
That's all I'm saying.
She won't know who her daddy is. Thank you.
All right, there we go. All right, let's take a break here. We have one more segment.
That's it.
Before we sign off on this beautiful journey that we've gone on.
We'll throw a couple of takes. Conor, you haven't even...
You haven't even come out of the word work.
No, Conor.
It's Conor. It's Conor, maybe? Anyway.
It's Conor.
This is Little Dark Age. The band is MGMT. We are the Sklar Brothers. Thank you
for listening
to us.
Follow us on Twitter.
We're at Sklar Brothers.
At Sklar Brothers on Instagram. And come see us if you're in Salt Lake City next weekend.
The 22nd and 23rd at
one of the best clubs in the country. Wise Guys.
Awesome. South Cal.
We're in South Cal now.
We'll be back to finish strong. Let's send it to Rich Ackerman, shall we?
I love Rich
Ackerman.
Let's
do it.
Huge call of the day. Thank you, buddy, for
calling. Thank you, my man. Hey, we have a podcast called View from the Cheap Seats. It's sports. It's comedy. We talk about basically a lot of the things we do right here on this show.
Got a great guest this week, Adam Caton Holland from the show
Those Who Can't, one of the stars of that show on True TV. He's awesome. Check that out. Subscribe to it. Listen to it. Had some really great people. It had Ozzie Smith on a couple months ago.
Bob Costas did
the show.
Mark Hoppus.
Great people all the way around.
From Blink 182.
Yeah, Mark Hoppus, last week.
Yeah.
Great stuff. All right, let's get into this take as we bring it home here.
I want to talk about this video, Randy, that was circulating. And I know it's been talked about a little bit on talk radio, so I kind of want to talk more about the reaction. But to set it up, the video of the kid, high school pitcher, strikes out a kid and goes past his catcher who wants to celebrate with him. And hugs this kid, embraces him for a while. And
he got a ton of grief. He got a ton of crap from everybody. Why weren't you celebrating with your team? And
that's the first thing. This is the wussification of sports. And it turns out this kid was a childhood friend of his, played on his little league team, and he felt bad about it. He felt bad for his friend. He wanted to console his friend because that's a tough moment to strike out looking and to end the game against the team. I think they won 17-8. It wasn't like it was a one-run game. It wasn't like the bases were loaded, but he was the last guy up. I mean, I'm a father of a kid who have watched my kid make the last out in a game. It's a hard thing to watch. And this guy had a moment of compassion.
You think Kobe has any friends?
No.
You think Michael Jordan has any friends?
No, this kid.
They don't have any friends. They have people that, because if Kobe had a friend, that friend would, or excuse me, if Jordan had a friend, that friend would have introduced him in the Hall of Fame. Instead, Michael Jordan asked the guy that beat him out on his high school team to introduce him so he could prove a point, thereby sending a message to anyone else who would be his friend that I will have no friends.
Here's my beef with the entire take on him, on this being the wussification of sports. The
because kids, that's all that came out after this. Just listening to it over and over again. The sports are, everyone gets a trophy. Sports are for wussies.
First of all, everyone doesn't get a trophy. I coach. My son is in the 9 and 10 year. When kids get to be 9 and 10 years old, they start to weed the kids out who don't want to play.
If you're not good, you don't play.
You're not good, you don't play. The playoffs come. If you lose, you don't get a trophy. That's the end of it. Season ends. There's winners. There's losers. They keep score. They're stealing. Teams run up on other teams. It happens. It sports the way we knew it to be
when we were kids. So it hasn't changed.
Before you go out there and say that the world has changed and everyone gets a trophy now, they don't.
It's a load of crap.
If you want to take this specific moment, the kid struck the other kid out. In the moment where it counted,
he was a killer. Ripped his heart out.
Struck him out.
Yeah.
Struck out his
friend. Won the game, did what his team needed him to do. By the way, he can walk over and celebrate with his team later, and he will.
I mean, I was reminded when the guy was hugging him with the girls from the Western Oregon softball team.
Remember that? The girl
hits her first home run of her career, is rounding first base, misses first base, comes back to first base, and then she tears something in her knee and she can't move. And she was told that if the players on her team or her coach try to help her around, then she's out.
So what are the players?
A pinch runner, it only counts as a single. So the players on the Washington team, the team they were playing, picked her up, two players, walked her around the bases, touched her down on each base with the other leg that wasn't hurt, and they helped her score.
Go watch the video. It will make you cry. It is one of the best, most unbelievable sportsmanship videos that you will see.
I mean, I think about this year in the
NCAA tournament.
And
our friend Wayne Fetterman, I give all the credit to him in the world.
ESPN ran a story about it called Touch Them All,
which Wayne Fetterman said that's not a good title of a story when you're talking about a girls' softball team.
Terrible.
To Touch Them All.
Terrible.
Stop.
Don't do that.
Stop.
But it's a heartwarming story and an amazing moment. And it's one of those moments where you say, look, they stepped outside of the game. The game suddenly wasn't as important.
Are you going to say those women who carry, young women who carry that other girl around,
represent the wussification of
sports? They're wussies, or are they better people? Do you want to hire those people for your company later in life, or the person who's going to backstab everybody to get to the top?
You might want to hire the backstabbing guy.
All right, fine. You hire them both.
Who do you want as your friend? I mean, that's the deeper thing. And who do you want to connect with?
Who's
going to
have a
level?
Better time in and more well-rounded life?
Who's going to get into the better school? I mean, the better post.
I got news for you. Nobody on that field that where the guy struck out that kid is going to be playing professional baseball. I can tell you that, and I didn't even see any of the game.
Yeah, probably no one's going to play.
No one's going to be playing professional baseball. They are going to go out and be people in the world.
And he said, you know, it was just in his own words, the outcome of the game was not as important as my relationship with this guy. And
like, contrast that behavior with Roger Clemens' son, who we just saw a video of him on University of Texas, hitting a couple of home runs against Texas A&M.
Yeah, rivals.
And rival team that you hate, fine. But then as he rounded third, staring into the dugout. Then coming around the second time, holding up a hook 'em horns as he's going into the dugout.
Staring into the dugout.
Now, if I'm the Texas A&M Aggies, I'm like, please put me in the game so I can throw as hard as I can at his face.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen the next time I get in.
You already got the home run. Like, well, why do you have to be classy? Why can't you be classy about
it? By the way, you beat him with your action on the field. You don't need to then beat him later. It shows me a really weak person who does that.
Right. And it makes me think, can you pass, like, steroid aggression?
Down through hereditarily.
Maybe you
can. Roger Clemens passed it down to his son. Roger Clemens!
Roger Clemens!
Is in the box! Again, not...
Roger Clemens is in Georgia's box!
Well, okay. Well, hold on a second.
I think he passed aggression to that woman.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen.
Roger Clemens is in Georgia's box. Again, a statement you do not
want to
like
say.
Touch them all. You do
Be
not want to say. Careful.
Roger Clemens is in Georgia's box.
Stop it.
Stop it. But it is one of
those
things.
Who did he learn from? He learned from, I learned it from watching you, Dad. When you threw
a piece of a broken bat that Mike Piazza didn't intend. It's not like Mike Piazza threw the bat at Clemens.
No, he swung the bat and it broke off near him. And what did Roger Clemens do in his steroid rage? Picked it up and whipped it back at him.
As if Piazza was trying to break a bat and have the shard come at Roger. He acted irrationally. And
I
now
learned it by watching you.
Yeah, he did learn it by watching you. And that's
a moment where you say to Roger Clemens' son, you wished he didn't know who his daddy was.
That's right. That's what you hoped about.
Don't know who your daddy is.
That's right.
Well, we do know who your daddy is. Based on your actions, we know. And this kid, this high school kid, who once again is teaching us through, in my opinion, evolved and enlightened behavior.
Why is he more evolved than a college kid whose dad was a pro player? You know
what I'm
saying?
He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be, and yet he is. And that's one of those moments where you look at sports and you say to yourself, okay, all right, this kid's teaching us something here. Mm-hmm. We don't need to put him down and try to lump him into some larger argument, which also doesn't make sense, about the wussification of sports. Number one, it's not happening. And number two, this kid is not an example of it. What happened on this field is the kind of thing you should be proud of and you should point to and be like, maybe we need a little more of that.
Exactly. I would like to see a little more of that. And I don't think that hurts sports in any way, shape, or form. No one's going to walk off the field. Like, by the way, the people who walk off the field and say that hurts sports – that's another way to indicate. Like, we have little jokes in our stand-up act over a course of an hour where if the audience is laughing at the first few, they're like little booby traps. They're like little tripwires. If they're laughing at this, then we're like, oh, in minute 45, they're going to love this bit.
Right.
This is going to do great. It just lets you know. So if someone is mad at that kid for hugging the guy who is his friend, then you know that that's a guy you don't ever want to hang out with socially other place. You just tripped the wire, my friend.
I want to talk about this before we get out of here, too. Supermodels. Let's talk about supermodels for a second.
Let's finally get into what we've all... This is like what every appearance on Rome has been building towards is this moment right now.
Supermodels, here's what they're good for. Fashion shows.
Eating disorders.
And Instagram.
They kill it on every level on all those things.
They should not be trusted with the execution of a key moment within a sporting event.
I absolutely agree.
Like waving the checkered flag at a Grand Prix anywhere.
At the Canadian Grand Prix? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Last weekend, the Canadian Grand Prix?
That cannot. And by the way, can we be done with the term supermodel? Like, it makes them seem like they're Marvel, like superheroes.
Also, supermodel makes everybody else who's just a model feel. They're like, wait a minute. The models are feeling too good about themselves.
We got to knock them down.
You know how the models make regular women and regular people and make men feel manorexic and make them want to feel
supermodels make every woman, including models, feel subconscious about their body and every dude jealous of Justin Verlander.
Right.
That's what supermodels do.
That's right. That's what they're succeeding in doing.
So call them successful models.
Let's call them all-star models.
Working models.
Tall models.
Call them that.
Supermodel Winnie Harlow was asked to take on, in my opinion, way too much responsibility
at
the Canadian Grand Prix last week.
She was asked to wave the checkered flag, which is the flag you wave to indicate the end of the race. The winner comes across the finish line to the checkered flag.
For those who don't watch auto racing.
She waved the flag one lap too early.
By the way, this was not like the Brickyard 500. 400.
Not a 200-yard lap. It was a 70-lap race.
70 laps is not that long.
She waved it at 69. Which she waved it. Which,
all right. Again, touch them all.
That may seem.
Roger Clemens is in George's
Roger
box.
Clemens.
She waved the flag. And then according to the article, this is an article in Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report said she took the criticism in stride. Then she said a track worker told her to do it.
Is that taking a stride? Throwing a guy who's picking up trash with a sticky thing on it, throwing that guy under the bus?
By tweeting that out, throwing another guy?
He told me.
She blamed another guy. Is that taking it in stride? I don't think
it is. He told me.
You know who I blame? I blame the Grand Prix for putting her in that position in the first place.
What are you doing, Grand Prix? Know your faculty.
Let her wave the green flag at the beginning of the race.
They can start at any time.
Hard to screw that one up. You're the race starts.
We are not starting, ma'am, until you wave
that
it.
Thing. It's hard to mess that one up.
That's not taking it in stride. I'm sorry. That is not true. He told me the wrong thing.
You don't have to know how to count to 70 to do the green flag.
That's count to one. Zero. Wave that.
And I'm not even blaming her. I'm not blaming her.
We're saying
Winnie
she should have never been in that position.
In the first place.
Who's putting her in that position to fail?
It's too much pressure to put on any man or woman who's never done that before.
Who there's a guy or a woman who regularly waves the checkered flag. That person, that's all they do. If their husband or wife says, can you go to the store and get me more stuff? They're like, no.
I cannot do
that. I have one job to do, and that is it. Can you go to Trader Joe's parking lot? No.
No.
I can't.
Don't know how to do that.
And I don't know who my daddy is.
I don't know
who your daddy is.
Right. I mean, that's another issue for most people with checkered flags. They also have what is called a checkered past.
Look, she could have driven the pace car. She could have led the crowd in a rousing edition of Canada. There are a lot of other jobs.
Allow her to present the victory wreath. Let her splash milk on someone.
This goes to a deeper thing that I've, and this happens to athletes too. When you're an athlete and you're great, that's all you need to focus on. When basketball or football is the thing in your life, then that's the thing. And that's the thing
Lonzo
that brings you
Ball,
money.
Don't do a diss track.
Do not. Don't do it. You know what you're good at. Models are beautiful. Their job is to preserve that beauty so they can keep getting money. They don't have to develop other parts of them. Now, yes, I'm not saying there aren't intellectual models. I'm not saying there aren't intelligent models, male and female. I'm just saying they don't have to develop that side of their body or their minds for
don't. Give her the checkered flag.
They do not have to be intellectuals in order to survive. And as a result, we as people generally like to do the minimum. That's what we want to do. We don't want to push ourselves in other areas when we don't have to. If you don't know who your daddy is.
If you don't.
Know who your daddy is.
Then don't put a rap track out.
That's right.
Don't put that out there. You don't need to do that. You don't need to.
That's just mean to Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Don't know who your daddy is.
Can we thank some people today?
I think we need to. Gar Reines,
batting stance guy. Follow him at batting stance G. Landon Donovan, thank you, Modelo, one of my favorite beers, for bringing him on. Brian Scalabrini, Brian Kenny. And then, of course, our dudes helping us make it happen. Dave Whelan, great job. Adam Hawk, Alvy, don't know who his daddy is.
He don't know
who your daddy is.
Chris Cox at Chris Cox Vox. Follow him. Come see us in Salt Lake City. We'll be at
Tom
Wise
DeCelestino
Guys
in New York. Guys, we're going to be in Wise Guys next week on the 22nd and 23rd. Come see us there. Check us out. We're supersclares.com for all of our dates. And check out our podcast, Dumb People Town. And view from the cheap seats at Sports and Comedy. Guys, have a great weekend. Thank you, Jim Rome. I'm imploring all of you guys.
Vote him
in
the
Hall
of Fame.
Text 800-296-000. Vote at radiovote.com. Put my man, our buddy, Jim Rome, in the Hall of Fame where he belongs. Sklar Brothers out. Punch waterfalls.
Thanks.